Good morning. Welcome to Main Street United Methodist Church. Before we get started, how about let's passing the peace. Please stand up and speak to the folks that are sitting next to you or across the aisle and greet them in the name of Jesus. Now, if you will, please get settled and let's center our hearts and minds on worship as we sing our hymn of preparation. I have several announcements that I'd like to share with you today. The first one is one that I got just this morning from Glenn Williams. We are very fortunate to have folks in our church who participate in the Kairos ministry. Glenn and John will be participating in a weekend event the first week of October, and they would like to have cookies. They need a whole lot of cookies. We're talking about like 6,000 dozen cookies for the Kairos ministry. That's what Glenn said. I asked him twice because they need them for every night of the ministry. They need all kinds of cookies except, please, no cookies with sprinkles on them. That presents a problem in their ministry. They need these cookies here by noon on Wednesday, October the 6th. So if you can make a couple of dozen cookies, they would really appreciate that. They will be taking them to Greenville to the weekend ministry program. And they give them out every night, and that's part of their activity. So as many cookies as you can make, they will greatly appreciate. I also want to share with you the announcement of our Wednesday night program. If you got your newsletter this last week, that was the cover story of the newsletter. And it is about the program Wednesday for our Hot Wednesday activity. Don't miss the opportunity this week to participate in the program with Susie McCall, who is formerly of Barnwell, but she is now serving as a missionary in Honduras. The program will be really entertaining and informative. The food will be outstanding since it's going to be cooked by Marion Moore, and you know that's always good. If you are coming to eat, the program starts at 6. Serving the food will start at 5:15. If you're coming to eat, you really do have to call the church so there will be a reservation for you. So do make reservations. Also, in order to get things together for the missionary trip, they would like for you to please bring adult and children's sunglasses. Pick them up, because that's something they need. They will even take prescription sunglasses, some of your old prescription sunglasses, because they can use those as well. And also bottles of bubbles. That's a tongue twister. Bottles of bubbles and adult and children's sunglasses will be greatly appreciated if you will bring them. I also want to call to your attention a couple of announcements that are in the bulletin. If you will look at the bottom page of the inside, you will notice that we're going to have the No Frills Game Day. And that's going to be Monday, September the 27th. For those of you who can come and play board games, card games, and socialize, enjoy visiting with others and getting to know other folks at Main Street. And on the back page, our first singles and singles again activity will be held at McAllister's on Monday, September the 27th at noon. So keep those and other events in the church in your minds and make plans and mark your calendar. Now, let us continue with our worship as the acolytes enter with the light of Christ.
Will all those who are able please stand and join me in the call of worship? Come, all who live in the shelter of the Most High. Gather together, all who trust in God Almighty. God reigns through all generations. We will praise God as long as we live. We trust in God, our refuge and our fortress. We can count on God's faithfulness at all times. God lifts us up when we are threatened or afraid. We call God to protection and rescue. Worship God, who richly provides us with all things. Give thanks to the one who dwells in unapproachable light. God who makes mercy, keep for it forever. We pour out our thankfulness in words and deeds.
Let us join together in praying our prayer of invocation. Ever-present God, let your Spirit fill this place, for we need to know that you are in charge. Through the terrors of night, amid the arrows that fly by day, we need to sense your power, your protection, your higher purpose. Show us here your saving, healing strength. Grant to us such confidence and contentment that we may look beyond ourselves to become a blessing to others. Amen. You may be seated.
I invite you now to join in the reading and the singing of the Psalter. This is Psalm 91, and it is found on the inside of the insert in your bulletin. Unlike what we do most of the time, we will actually be using four different responses, but it's the four verses of the hymn, Children of the Heavenly Father. We will begin with that song response, which Joyce will play now. Those who dwell in the shadow of the Most High, who abide in the shadow of the Almighty, will say to the Lord, for the Lord will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence, and will cover you with his pinions. Tend and nourish, in his holy courts they flourish. From all evil things he spares them, in his mighty arms he bears them. You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day. A thousand may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. Because you have made the Lord your refuge, the Most High your habitation. Neither life nor death shall ever from the Lord his children sever. Unto them his grace he showeth, and their sorrows all he knoweth. For God will give his angels charge over you to guard you in all your ways. Because they cleave to me in love, I will deliver them. When they call to me, I will answer them. Though he giveth or he taketh, God his children ne'er forsaketh. Is the loving purpose solely to preserve them pure and holy.
Today's epistle reading comes from 1 Timothy. Chapter 6, verses 6 to 19. You'll find this on page 257 of the Pew Bible in the New Testament section. Here Paul is telling Timothy not to pursue riches, but to be content with the abundant grace and the supply of God. He later urges the wealthy to do good with their wealth, to be generous, and to share it. Listen to God's word for us today. Of course, there is great gain in godliness combined with contentment. We brought nothing into the world, so we take nothing out of it. But we have food and clothing, we'll be content with these. But those who want to be rich fall into temptation or trapped by many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, and in their eagerness to be rich, some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pains. But as for you, man of God, shun all this. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life for which you are called for and for which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses, in the presence of God who gives life to all things, and to Christ who in his testimony before Pontius Pilate made the good confession, I charge you to keep the commandment without spot or blame until the manifestation of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he will bring about at the right time. He was blessed, the only sovereign, the King of kings, and the Lord of lords. He alone has immortality, dwells in an unapproachable light, whom no one has ever seen nor can see. To him be honor and eternal dominion. Amen. For those who in the present age are rich, command them not to be haughty or to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but rather on God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, generous, and who richly provides for us everything for his enjoyment. But be generous, be ready to share, the storing up for them treasures of a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of the life that really is life. The word of God for the people of God.
Thank you.
As we go to prayer at this time, we remember those who have special needs within our church family, and you see those listed in our bulletin who are recouping in the hospital, and some of these are at home. And today we give special thanks that two of our own are back. Jay Pendergrass is back home, and Frank Rice. Shirley Wilson, our custodian, had a wreck on her way to work the other day and broke her ankle and is bruised and sore. And Bill White's sister-in-law has died. Leighton Logan is at home recuperating from salmonella poisoning, and he is back home from a brief stay in the hospital, and Bob Z is at the hospice house. Zia. Let us be in an attitude of prayer. Holy God, as we bow our hearts and our heads before you this day, giving you thanks for these who are back with us and for those who are recouping, for the joys that we have had through the years of worshiping together and celebrating in our various times of fellowship, wonderful friends that we have made here, and always being reminded that Jesus is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. And we come to you this day, dear God, with such wonderful celebration, and yet also with these concerns, that you will continue to meet the needs of your people, and that we will continue to pray to you with a voice of praise, with concerns for our fellow brothers and sisters, to pray for ourselves as we continue to share our faith as it goes from father to mother to son to daughter throughout the generations. We thank you again for this wonderful sacred place where your name is exalted, and for the freedom that we enjoy as your people. We pray for those who are serving our country in faraway places and those at home, for ministers and missionaries as they go where they are sent, for those in leadership in our great country, and those who lead and prayerfully guide our church. Thank you, Lord, for these. And we pray as you taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us worship the Lord now with our morning tithing offerings. Ushers, would you come, please? Let us pray. Dear God, we are so thankful for all the gifts that you give to us and for this privilege that we have to return a token of that which we have received. For dear God, we acknowledge that all things are yours. We just borrow them for a while. Use these gifts, Almighty God, to the furtherance of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Bless giver and gift and those who had not or those who chose not to give this day. To you it's we give glory, honor, and praise. In your name, amen.
Please be seated, and we invite the children forward for the children's message.
As the children come up, they are reminded, and all parents are reminded, that our preschoolers can go out for extended session following children's time. And today will be the last class of our worship readiness for our first graders. And we will be making the bread that we will use next week for World Communion Sunday.
Good morning, boys and girls. How about coming on up closer to me? We are a small group this morning. We need to get nice and tight. I'm going to start off by saying something that you already know. Jesus loves children. You knew that, didn't you? You all knew that. And you know what? Jesus loves each one of you so much. So much, in fact, that he has a very special plan for your life. And right now, as children, I'm sure Jesus' plan would involve you learning to love him and learning more about him and his heavenly Father, God. But you know, Jesus even loves you even more than that. He loves you so much that he sends his angels to watch over you and protect you. And you know, we adults reminded ourselves of that very fact today in the Psalter. God sends his angels to guard over us always in all stages of our life. That is quite an awesome thought, isn't it? Did you know that you have a guardian angel that's watching over you? Now, do we see angels? No, we don't see angels, do we? Angels are spirits. But you know, in some of your Bible stories that you've studied, you've learned of angels appearing to people. That means they were there and people could actually see them. Now, we are getting close to a time of the year when in the church calendar we do think a lot about angels. And what time of year is that? Can you tell me? When did the angels appear to announce the birth of who? Jesus. Okay. The angels appeared and announced the birth of Jesus to the shepherds. And when you think of an angel, what do you think of? What is an angel? What would an angel look like if you drew an angel?
Thank you.
us join together in making our affirmation of faith as found in your bulletin, the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered unto Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Hear now the reading of Scripture as found in the Gospel according to Luke. Begin reading with the 19th verse of the 16th chapter. There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen, and who feasted sumptuously every day. And at his gate lay a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who longed to be satisfied, to satisfy his hunger with what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs would come and lick his sores. The poor man died and was carried away by the angels to be with Abraham. The rich man also died and was buried in Hades, where he was being tormented, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. He called out, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in agony in these flames." But Abraham said, "Child, remember that during your lifetime you received your good things, and Lazarus in like manner evil things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in agony. Besides all this, between you and us a great chasm has been fixed, so that those who might want to pass from here to you cannot do so, and one cannot cross from there to us." He said, "Then, Father, I beg you to send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may warn them, so that they will not come into this place of torment." Abraham replied, "They have Moses and the prophets. They should listen to them." He said, "No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent." He said to him, "If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead." Word of God for the people of God. You may be seated. I remember vividly studying this parable when I was at Candler. And as we talked about this parable and reflected upon what caused this man to be in torment and one to be in paradise, I was reading the other day, and this man and his wife were together in a nice cuddly moment with a nice fire burning, and they were sitting there probably on a rug or something, and he reached down and squeezed her foot. And she said to him, "You know, honey, sometimes I don't think that you listen to me, And he said, "Oh, honey, I'm sorry I squeezed your foot. I thought it was the remote." And what were you saying? As we look at this passage of Scripture, and we think about listening and about what's happening in our lives and in our world and the conditions and wherein we find ourselves, I think about the sin that caused this rich man to be in torment. As I look at this passage, I realize that there is no particular sin that is mentioned. This is not the prodigal. He is not squandering his living on a riotous lifestyle. He's just rich. As I think about Lazarus, doesn't say that he's a righteous man. He's just poor. Now, I have known in my lifetime some poor folks, and I've been privileged to have known some affluent individuals. And I wouldn't say that just because some of the folks that I know that are poor deserve a special treatment in God's kingdom. And neither would I say that some that are rich deserve to be in torment. Rather, as I look at this passage of Scripture and I think about responsibility, I think about the privileges that we have as individuals and to be an American, to live in this country, to wake up each day and go, for most of us, and turn on the water, and we have a choice, hot, cold, or a mixture. We go to the refrigerator in the kitchen, and it's whether we're going to fry and cook some sausage and eggs, as we enjoyed this morning, for those of you who had breakfast here with us, or whether you're going to eat cold cereal and milk, fresh milk, and clean water from the tap to make your morning cup of joe or hot chocolate. All types of wonderful choices. Probably getting up in an air-conditioned home or apartment or whatever. That's the American way. We can go to restaurants of almost any descript, and we can ask for ice water. We get all the ice and all the water we want. Frank Rice and I were talking this week as I visited with him his return from Afghanistan. And I will use some percentages that probably may not be exactly what we said, but close, in the sense that he was talking about the individuals that he was working with and trying to help have a better life there in Afghanistan, when 30% or more of the women die in childbirth. With whatever meager scraps of food and diet that they are privileged to have, and an additional 30 to 50% of the children die in their first year. I was listening to the radio the other day, and it was talking about how soon you should take your children to the dentist. And Frank said to me, "You know, I don't think these folks ever saw a dentist with their snaggled teeth, with their frail diet." So how do we speak of being poor in America? It's all in perspective, obviously. For there might be some here that would say, "Oh, he or she is poor," but the fact is, if you woke up and put your feet down in America this morning, you're wealthy. It is not because you're better than anyone else, it's because you're blessed. It's given to you. Thank God. Thank God. And as we look at the rest of the world, and the privilege that we have as Americans and as United Methodists, I remember at annual conference as we talked about producing water for Zimbabwe, where these individuals could have clean, fresh water to drink. And being a part of Rotary, we talked about producing for some third world country purifiers, so that they could have water wherever they were that was clean and wholesome. And yet the reality is that the tap water that we have coming each day is cleaner than what most bottled water people buy. We're blessed. Now, because we are so blessed, does it mean that we should not inherit eternal life? Well, certainly this morning you would say, absolutely not. And so we begin to understand that in living here in this land, there is a call that comes out to us. A call to be responsible for that which we have received. The privilege to enjoy the social things that are around us. And we understand that our Lord chose not to have a place to lay His head. Our Lord was not a person of phenomenal monetary means. And the Apostle Paul, as we read about him this morning, and he speaks to us about living our lives in liberty and dedication. This morning, I've heard it said here, and by no means is that foreign to other churches that I have worshiped in, that some of the most faithful individuals are those who give of their meager resources, who give faithfully to this church and other churches. And so, we understand that life comes to us, and we make our choices. Thank God for those who have more resources than others. Those who have given to this church and to the kingdom of God. And in our very community here, we are blessed. with hospitals and libraries and these community resources that make our life more meaningful. Because individuals have chosen to give. John Wesley was one that chose to live a life almost of poverty. To live a life of dedication and commitment. It comes to my mind now the story that was told of Mother Teresa when they were doing an interview on TV about her, and they showed the ghettos of Calcutta and the leper colonies. And each time when they would go to commercials, it was designer jeans and diamond watches. And all types of affluence that we have become accustomed to here. And so as we look at this passage of Scripture, and we understand that there are those who have resources and those who don't, is it a sin . I think the answer would be no. So what's the issue? In seminary, the professor made this statement. With 4 years of college and 3 years of seminary, there's a lot of things that professors taught that I have forgotten. But this one I remember vividly. When the professor said that the sin was that the rich person did not even know Lazarus existed. Now you can interpret that and look at that any way you want to in light of the Scripture. But that was what the professor said at Candler. He didn't even know he was there. Several years ago, I read the book called The Janitor. The janitor was there working late in the evenings, as janitors do, and cleaning this business suite. And there was a man there who was working late. The man was working late. He was struggling with his relationship and his marriage. His family was cracking up. He was struggling with his business. And the janitor was whistling and happy. And the man said to the janitor, "I wish I could be like you." The janitor told him, says, "You can, but you've got to do what I tell you to do." And they entered into a covenant where the man would follow the janitor's commands and directions. And the story becomes one of reversal. How, as this man began to value his family, as he began to make deposits and see each member of his family as a gift, as he began to treasure his time, his life was restored. And the gist of the story was that the janitor at one time was just like the man he was helping to save. And a janitor helped him turn his life around. And so he made a commitment to do the same. I'm sure you can go to the library and find the rest of the book. The reality is that whether we are poor or whether we are rich, We are called to live in relationship with one another. Who is it that you are missing in your life? And who is missing the fellowship that you and I offer? As I think about the poor people that I have known, the homes that I have been in, and at times they have been homes of just love and excitement and joy. But I'm here to tell you that poor individuals as well can have a life of torment and frustration, especially if they haven't learned to live within their means. If they have utilized credit cards and other resources to try to buy themselves out of the dilemma where they find themselves. And rich folks as well, losing relationships with children and wives and friends. You see, we're called to invest ourselves. There's a fellow that I played golf with up at Maggie Valley. And he would hit a ball and it would go this way, or hit a ball and go that way. And we went out to play one day and he'd say, "You know, at that house lives," and he would call the person's name. I said, "Well, how did you find out?" He said, "Oh, I hit my ball over in their yard and sat down on the front porch and we drank tea and ate some lemon pie and fellowshipped, and this guy over here, and every place along the way, he had talked to somebody while playing golf." The sin was that he didn't know Lazarus existed. In our church, we're called to be in relationship. Just like the man, when his wife spoke to him and said, "Sometimes I think you don't listen." Dr. Dobson tells of a gynecologist whose wife took ill one day, and he called up one of his friends, and he too was a female doctor, and he took her to him for observation, and he went in and checked her out and found out she was 5 months pregnant. Sometimes the person that we are ignoring is in our own household. Sometimes the individuals that need our concern and our love are those who are our children. And sometimes it's the children that needs to be in relationship with the parent. Who is it that lives across the street from you? Who is it that lives down the street from you? Who is it that lives across the street from the church? Who is it within our own church that you have never spoken to? Sometimes the sores and the sicknesses that we carry are those that have been inflicted upon us, and sometimes they're those of our own choosing. So I close this morning and say, you're not a sinner. You're not destined for Hades because you're wealthy. And I don't think you're destined for paradise just because you're poor. But the greatest relationship that you and I can have is a relationship with our God. God sent His Son into the world to redeem lost humanity and call us to a relationship with Him and with one another. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our closing hymn, number 521, "I Want Jesus to Walk With Me." Receive now the benediction. And now may the blessings of God, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit abide with you. May God lead you into the path of somebody that needs a friend, that needs to be touched, that needs to be made well. And may they receive that touch, may receive that healing, loving hand from you. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen.